You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
All things are possible, this is His word. Receive it, it's written for you. Believe in His promises, God cannot fail.
Welcome to Living the Abundant Life program. This is your host, Rachel McLean. Please join us at 201 Southwest Flagler Avenue, Stuart at 9:30 a.m. each Sunday morning. Call 772-220-0602 for more information about men's prayer, ladies' prayer, and midweek Bible studies. Watch our live stream at AbundantLifeStuart.com on Sunday mornings at 9:30 a.m. Our mailing address is Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349, Stuart, Florida 34995. Join us as we go to a pre-recorded service with Pastor Jonathan McLean.
So this morning I'm going to invite you to go with me to Acts chapter 10. Acts chapter 10. And several weeks ago, maybe even months ago, I may have mentioned this, but God began to just stir in my heart the importance of every believer understanding the word so that you can invite someone else to receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. It's not difficult. It's by faith. We're born again by faith. We receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit by faith. I was reading the notes in the Fire Bible, and I thought this note was good. The note, there was a whole area that said that this is not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And one of the points was that if someone is trying to teach you how to speak in a new tongue, then you can be assured that that is not the way God wants to give you the baptism of the Holy Spirit. God is able to take care of your tongue and my tongue when I just give Him ownership and fully surrender it. And God is looking for that. But this morning we're going to come to a wonderful passage. I love this passage. It's one of the key passages that addresses the Holy Spirit being poured out and the baptism of the Spirit. And this is kind of wonderful to me because we know that at Pentecost it was an outpouring that took place with the Jews, right? However, here in chapter 10 we're going to find that God's Holy Spirit, His power, is not just for the Jews, but is for the Gentiles as well. And so for the Jews in the house, amen, you got it first. For the Gentiles, I'll say we're a little slower. But thank God we still have access to what God has for us. So I'm going to be reading from the New Living Translation. And I want to just entitle this time that we have in the Word in this way. Those who seek will find. Those who seek will find. Those who seek for the baptism of the Holy Spirit will receive. Will receive. As a young man, I remember thinking, how could God love those people that have no access? Maybe to missionaries, or maybe to the Word, or maybe to church, such as we have. Then in later years, I would wonder why God would leave so many people in the dark about the Holy Spirit. And then I realized He hasn't. The Word of God is filled with the promise, and it's filled with the reality of the Spirit-filled life, which is the life of joy for the believer. And so in this chapter, we're going to see a Roman army officer. Cornelius, who is a man who seeks God. Let's just start with verse 1. You may have a different translation, so you may want to just listen or maybe follow along. I'll give you some verses to kind of catch up. In Caesarea, there lived a Roman army officer named Cornelius, who was a captain of the Italian regiment. Any Italians in the house? Woohoo! Probably a couple. He was a devout man. He was devoted. Who feared which God? God of Israel. As did his entire household. He gave generously to charity and was a man who regularly prayed to God. So you know a little bit about him, don't you? We know that he is a man that is a leader. We know he's a leader as a military commander. He oversaw many. We also know that he was a leader in his own house, because he's a godly man, but also his family also are believers in the God of Israel. We know that he's generous, don't we? Because he gave generously to charity. And we know he is a man of prayer, because the scripture tells us that he prayed with regularity. So he had a pattern of prayer. You might say he had a system or a time set in his prayer life. He was consistent. He didn't just pray when things were going wrong. He was a man of prayer. Now we find some, and even in our own life, we've had seasons when we've prayed all kinds of prayers. And some of those prayers that we prayed out of desperation, or we just prayed out of maybe habit. But many of us also pray regularly out of desire to know, to serve, and to worship God. And here is Cornelius, this man. One afternoon, about 3 o'clock, that's kind of cool, you know, we have the time. He had a vision in which he saw an angel of God coming toward him. Now, a lot of Christians don't believe God does this kind of thing. I've talked to many believers who said, oh, you Pentecostals believe that God speaks through His Word, and God also speaks through dreams and visions, and He can speak into your spirit. But I've had many people tell me, we are sola scriptura. We are only the Word of God. That's the only thing that we believe. How do you know that God speaks through all kinds of different methods? God has certainly spoken to me through many different methods. His Word is the foundation. We don't change the Word. Everything is held accountable to the Word of God. But we are not adding to the Word of God to say that the God who gave us His Word also continues to speak into the life of His people. For here it is in the Word of God. We're not adding to. We're simply looking at what is in the Word of God. And here is a Roman officer who has this vision. And so he sees this angel coming to him. The angel said, Cornelius stared at him in terror. And, what is it, sir? He asked the angel. He recognizes this is a new encounter for him. It's a new experience for him. I want you to say new with me. Just say new. Would it be okay if God met some of the new battles you're facing with some new revelation? I mean, sometimes we act as if Satan's the only one that's pulling a new sneaky, stinking game. This is a new beginning for Cornelius. It is a whole new thing. He didn't know anything about it. He had never experienced this before, as far as we can tell. This is new. And the angel speaks to him and says, your prayers and gifts to the poor have what? They've been noticed by God. They have not gone unnoticed. If someone in this room, you're in this room, and you've had days where you felt like maybe God didn't know where you were, like maybe God was busy over here with Sister Harriet and Bill, or maybe with someone else, and you just sense that you know, maybe God is not hearing what's going on. Well, you know, sometimes we have feelings like that. But God takes note of every little thing in our lives. Every little thing. Every little thing. And the angel is a messenger. And the messenger is saying, Cornelius, God has had His eye on you. You're not a Jew, no. But God has had His eye on you. When you pray, you may not pray as well as those Pharisees and Sadducees. You may not pray as well as those other Jewish believers. But Cornelius, God has been listening to your prayers. I've had the enemy tell me just within the last few days, Jonathan, you don't pray so well. You don't study so well. You don't communicate with God so well. You are not so fruitful. Now listen, if the devil doesn't tell you that, then you can say, hallelujah, I'm so tuned into God that I don't hear that kind of rubbish. But when the enemy's telling you that, you can be excited and say, hallelujah, the enemy is upset. He doesn't like what he's hearing. That's why when the Word says, when you pray, say. Speak out loud. Pray out loud. Now, if you're not able to, then you can pray silently. But if you're able to, pray out loud. Let the enemy get a headache. Yeah. And he'll come and attack you and say, that wasn't a great prayer. That wasn't a very long prayer. You're not very righteous. You're not very religious. And just tell him to shut up. I'm going to keep praying and serving my God. Cornelius, God is listening to your prayers. Cornelius, God has been watching what you've been doing with your resources. God's been taking note of that. Now, we don't see anywhere where Cornelius is saying, God, because I pray and because I'm a giver, you have to come and meet me in a special way. Some people feel like that, you know. They feel like, because I do so much for God, God has to do this for me. Let me give you a little thought to chew on. If you are serving God from your heart, all hell cannot stop God's gracious communication and work in your life. You begin to reach out toward God. You begin to stretch out. You begin to seek His face. And God will see to it that He makes connection with you. I remember the book that was entitled by Tommy Tenney. I like his writings very much. But it was called The God Chasers. Any of you read that book back many years ago, The God Chasers? I remember reading the title of that, and I thought, if God wanted to get away, who could catch Him? I remember I just had that thought right away when I saw the title. And I thought, I understood what he was saying. He was saying that God is looking for His people to pursue Him, to know Him, to be intimate. And of course, we know what intimacy is with God, right? Someone years ago said, it's into me see, intimacy. God, into me see. God, you who know everything, I desire to be intimate and close with nothing between us. The angel replied, your prayers and gifts to the poor have not gone unnoticed. Now send some men down to Joppa to find a man named Simon Peter. Now you know about him, don't you? Simon Peter. He's staying with Simon, another Simon, a leather worker who lives near the shore. Ask him to come and visit you. And verse 7 lets us know that he didn't let any grass grow under his feet. As soon as the angel left, now he is having a vision, right? As soon as the vision's over, the angel is gone. Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier, one of his personal attendants, and he told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. Now, right here, I have to pause for just a moment. I want to ask you a question. How is it possible that a Roman military leader would believe God enough that if he has a vision, and in the vision he is directed by God to do something, that he just instantly believes God? Just instantly believes God. So many times Jesus talked to his disciples in this way. Oh, ye of little faith. Oh, ye of little faith. Here's a Roman centurion who has this vision, and he recognizes that it's God. My prayer and my desire for each of you, those of you who are watching this morning, those of you who will tune in, maybe on the radio, somewhere down the road, my prayer for the body of Christ is that we will know the difference between pepperoni and a midnight upset tummy and a dream and the voice of God. It's appropriate to pray, God, I want to have ears to hear. I want to have vision to see. I want to have a heart to receive what you are saying to me right now. And God is speaking. God is speaking. So here's Cornelius. He believes what God says. What if Cornelius had not believed? Would we have ever heard of him? What if Cornelius would have not acted upon the word of God? Would we even have this story? Well, I don't know about that, but I know about this. He believed, and he acted on it. And so, send some men. As soon as the angel's gone, Cornelius, he puts together his team. So he has three on the team. He told them what had happened and sent them off to Joppa. Now, let me tell you what people would say about this kind of a story in the church I grew up in. They'd say, you guys are nuts. You say somebody dreamed something, they had a vision, and in the vision, God said something to them, and now you have been sent to carry a message that they say they heard from God. The church I grew up in, they would say, you're nuts. God doesn't do that. But you know what the Word of God says? God does that. God does that. Don, when you go into the prison and you speak, you go in with the expectation that God is going to use a clay vessel to speak. Nick, as you spoke up this morning, do you know what you spoke was the word of the Lord? I received it as the word of the Lord. It was an affirmation to the word the Lord had just given me earlier when I first came in. You actually said the context of that message. I will build my church. You didn't say it all with the full scripture, but God gave it to you. Some would say, well, that can't be God that has given me that message. Well, what if it is God? What if God wants to use you to confirm His word? What if someone here in this room or someone listening is like a Cornelius? You've never had an angel show up in your dreams. You've never had a God vision. Let me tell you, it's time you start having God visions. Because so many people go to sleep with a vision of what's going on in the world instead of a vision of what's going on in the heavens. We have been living with an earthly vision instead of a supernatural God-birthed vision. We need to move out of the natural and into the spiritual so we can see things as they really are. Hello? If God's going to speak through a Roman, then God can speak through Dylan. Then God can speak through me. And you may say, well, now I don't know. I don't know that God would ever do that through me. Is there anyone here that read the story of Balaam and a donkey that talked? Do you remember that the donkey was God talking to Balaam and he was too blinded and hard-hearted to receive what was going on? If you can't get it that if God can speak to Cornelius, he can speak to you, then maybe you can get it and say, well, if the donkey, if God could use a donkey, then God can use me as well. And he can. He can. Now, you may not be excited about that, but nevertheless, my prayer is that God use us. That God use us. That I hear God's voice. That you hear God's voice. That you write it down. That you're able to communicate it. Cornelius was able, you know, he didn't just have this vision and wake up and go, wow, you know, something happened. I saw something. I don't know what I saw. He woke up and he took note of it. He communicated it. And it's a God vision. It's a God vision. The next day, as Cornelius' messengers were nearing the city, Peter went up to the flat roof to pray. It was about noon. And he was hungry. But while lunch was being prepared, he fell into a, what? Trance. I fell into a couple ditches. I don't know if I ever fell into a trance before. Do you know what he fell into? He fell into the heavens. Yeah. He went up onto the roof to pray. And God opened up the heavens, and he is taken right into the presence of God, where God is going to literally change his theology that is going to impact his life for the rest of his life. Another new thing. Say new again. Peter needed it. Peter was very limited. He was willing to minister within the context of his familiarity. But he was not comfortable to minister to all people. And so God was going to meet him. And this is what happened. You remember the story. And Peter gets into this conversation. Peter's on the roof. It's about noon. He was hungry. Fell into a trance. Verse 11. He saw the sky open. Something like a large sheet was let down by its four corners. In the sheet were all kinds, all sorts of animals, reptiles and birds. Then a voice said to him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." And verse 14. "Never, Lord. Never." Is Peter telling God no? Is he telling God he doesn't know what he's talking about? Are you serious? You know, Peter's shaken by this because his adherence to the diet was so important. I remember growing up, we had do's and don'ts in the church. And let me tell you, people were watching to see how you were doing. It's possible for somebody to have the outside all lined up, as they used to say. Oh, you got to get the outside all lined up, all lined up. It's possible for someone to have the outside all lined up, but the inside in not quite perfect order. Now, when Jesus ministered, did Peter see Jesus minister to Jews and also Samaritans? He did, didn't he? Did Peter not see that the love of God and the power of God was greater than just the ritualistic, clean, unclean, Jew, Gentile. Yes, Peter would have seen that. But Peter had never allowed God to enlarge him to be able to believe for others to be brought in. Peter says, never, 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 never. I have never in all of my life eaten anything forbidden by our Jewish laws. Look at me, God. You ought to be impressed. I've never done that. Right? You hear what Paul said? Read about what Paul says. He talked about his pedigree. How he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. How he was schooled by Gamaliel. Read about how he attained to be faithful in all the little laws and regulations. All of those things that he endeavored to do. Here's Peter saying, God, you know that I can't do that. I can't do that. I have lived, I've eaten, I've never eaten anything that was forbidden by our laws. And the voice spoke again. If God says something is acceptable, don't say it isn't. The same vision was repeated three times. Then the sheets pulled up again to heaven. Peter was perplexed. What could the vision mean? And in verse 17, the New Living Translation includes all this in this way. Just then, the men sent by Cornelius found the house and stood outside the gate. Peter is just coming out of this God encounter where God is challenging his thoughts and his theology. These men, the three, they've come with from Cornelius' home. They ask if this was the place where Simon Peter was staying. Meanwhile, as Peter was puzzling over the vision, the Holy Spirit said to him, three men have come looking for you.
If you have not accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you can do so today. Please pray this simple prayer with me. Lord Jesus, I believe that you are Christ, the Son of the living God, that you died for my sins. I am a sinner. I need a Savior. Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be Lord of my life today. I ask this all in Jesus' name, and fill me with your wonderful Holy Spirit. Amen.
You have been listening to Living the Abundant Life with Pastor Jonathan McLean, coming to you from Abundant Life Assembly of God Church. This program is aired each Sunday, 5 a.m. and 5 p.m. If you would like to be a partner with us in support of this ministry, you may do so by going to AbundantLifeStuart.com. Please send all correspondence to Abundant Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1349.